Welcome to the Last Night I Watched podcast, the film review book club style podcast.
Each week, we choose a film that we think best sums up our current topic.
I'm Devon.
And I'm Luke.
And we hope you enjoy this episode.
But before we start, spoiler alert.
Hello, and welcome back to Last Night I Watched.
Hello, welcome
Hello
back.
There. We are now on week two of tonsillitis.
Yes.
Tonsillitis gate. So, still croaky, better, but still croaky. So, just a heads up to why I sound like I have eaten gravel.
But, yeah, better.
Better. Yes, I'm not in the fever dream that I was last week.
Yeah.
Less medicated.
Although it may have helped.
100%. I could have done with a lot more. Anything to knock me unconscious would be preferable.
Yeah.
This week, we're not doing a topic. We're doing Cinderella. We're doing the Amazon Prime 2021 version.
Yeah.
Mainly because it is filmed very locally. It's all in the UK, but most of the shots outside, really, that I can see, and a lot of the internal, is Worcester Manor.
Yes, I didn't realise as well until today, it's also Blenheim Palace, which is also not far away.
Not far from
it's,
here.
It's basically Pinewood Studios, not far away.
Nope.
Worcester Manor. Mm-hmm. Very close.
Yeah.
And Blenheim Palace.
But
it's also not
there
far
is
away.
One big ball scene, and that was filmed in the Blackpool Tower.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so that's quite far away.
Yes, but they, a bit further up north.
Yeah, but that's like a big deal kind of in the UK, because that's where like our Strictly Come Dancing, which I think is called Dancing in the Stars in America.
Yeah.
That's like a, it's always like live from
the
Blackpool
Tower. Ballroom.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a thing. So we watched the film. It was something, and then we had a trip to Worcester Manor.
Yes,
we went out
in the world.
Yes, and we took a lot of pictures. Our 10-year-old was our photographer.
Yeah, so a lot of pictures are slightly wonky angles and
very low, a lot of double
slightly
chins,
slightly askew, and taking pictures in front of a house where you can't see the house anymore.
Yeah, there was one that we were like, I was like, this is going to be good. And I looked at it and I was like, yeah, you can't see any of the house. He's done it landscape.
We could be anywhere.
Yeah. I was like, okay. And then you have to be like, thanks. It's great.
You did
a really good job. Can you just shoot 12 more and do everything differently?
Yeah.
But one thing I'm really proud of us at doing at Worcester Manor today, looking through the pictures, I'm feeling a bit of pride.
Okay.
Because I feel like we have our ghost adventure stance down. In these pictures, you don't know that we're married.
We just look like we're about to investigate.
Yeah. We've got the same amount of chemistry as Aaron and Zach Bagans. Maybe less. But I was looking through it, I was like, yes, this could be Ghost Adventures.
Yep.
Worcester Manor.
Yep.
And we will post them. There is a lot.
Yes. Just us just standing awkwardly. Just,
and not smiling. Just, yeah. I think we'd had enough of it by this point.
I think it's just like, have you taken it?
I think that was it.
That's
to be
the
fair.
Look. It's that. Have you taken it? I'm going to stay still.
Yeah, there's not a lot of smiles by the end. I'm not a smiley person anyway.
Mm.
I feel like we were getting judged a lot by all the pictures we took. None of them included our son.
Yes, yeah. And I think the other thing was it was slightly hot today,
and
British people don't do well in the hot. So it was a lot of old people on benches just looking at people.
Yes, there was a lot of just couples there who were reading.
Yeah, reading a book, yeah.
Yeah, but like a couple that just went specifically to Worcester Manor to read.
Yes, pay to get in, to read.
To read. Am I missing something? Is that like the most romantic thing ever you can do with your partner?
Ignore them.
Yeah.
It
sounds pretty damn good, actually. Yeah. Can we do that with kids,
just go
too,
into a
yeah.
world of your own, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I missed it. This is like the greatest invention ever. See, it looks like you're really coupley, but then you're being actually the most...
You're just ignoring each other.
Isolated. The thing is, it's like it's not even like watching a film when you're sharing the same story. You're literally isolating yourself while sitting next to one. This is great.
Yeah.
We need to get on that. Okay, back to this. So, yeah, we went around Worcester Manor. We also, which was quite nice, is we got married. We had our reception at Worcester Manor.
Mm.
So we had a lot of pictures that were now coming up very, very soon, 10 years old.
Yes.
So we tried with our 10-year-old.
Yes.
Compared to a wedding photographer. Recreate these.
Yeah.
In our normal everyday clothes.
Yes.
But yeah, they're not as...
They're not wedding photos.
They're not wedding photos. No. But I think I like them more.
Yeah.
They're more fun, and I feel like they're more us.
Yeah, it's just us being normal.
Yeah, so that was fun. So yeah, no, it was a good day. It was a fun day out. Moving swiftly on to this film.
Yeah.
Cinderella, have you got synopsis?
With over 100 Cinderella films currently on IMDb, everyone knows the story of the basement, the fairy godmother, the ball, the glass slipper, and the prince. This is no different, just with a lot of singing. Lots and lots and lots of singing.
Is it really over 100 films on IMDb of Cinderella?
Over 100 Cinderella films.
Which ones do you know? Okay, I know the original, the Disney one. I know of the one with Hilary Duff. I'm pretty sure there's a Cinderella. And then there was the one with Brandy and Whitney Houston, I think.
Okay.
And then there was the other Cinderella, but Disney one, with the girl from Downton Abbey. And then there's this one. So I'm on like 5, right?
Yeah, so the very first Cinderella film is 1899.
Oh, okay.
George Méliès of Hugo.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's the very first...
Link that back.
Cinema
yeah.
film version of this. Didn't go down well. No. People hated it.
Why?
I don't know. People just didn't like it. And then, obviously, the Disney film in 1950. Mm-hmm. Disney did actually do a version in 1922.
Okay.
Just a 7-minute. They did those, like, laugh-along little shorts, basically.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, when people say Disney Cinderella, there's actually...
Two.
Well, there's 3 now, isn't there?
Live action.
So, yeah.
That's interesting. Well, saying about the first one getting panned, this one isn't exactly doing well.
No. I can see why.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. This came out on the 3rd of September 2021, so it's not been out for long. What's the date today? The date of recording is the 18th.
Yeah.
So, what? That's 15 days?
A couple of weeks.
Yeah. So it's just over 2 weeks, really.
Yeah.
And it's got a 4.2 on IMDb, 43% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 2.9 out of 5 on Amazon.
Yeah, I think at the moment, the people that are watching it are the people that want to watch it, apart from us. We didn't want to watch it.
Yeah, I think it's free as well. Like, if pretty much everybody and their mum has Prime at this point.
Yeah.
Like, my mum has it. So I think it was a free thing, kind of, you know, and it seemed exciting. So my mother listened to our last episode, heard that we were going to do Cinderella. So I got a text from her just saying, spoiler alert, Cinderella is a musical.
Many swear words came from you after that point.
And then she said, switched it off early doors, opening scene. A lot of exclamation marks. I don't think I swore, because our son was in the room. But I read this around. I think I swore after you went to bed. But the three of us were sitting around. I read out this message, and all three of us, him included, that wasn't even going to watch it in the first place, was like, oh no. There was like a groan from everyone.
Yeah.
I think the dog even like rolled his eyes. I did not know it was a musical when I agreed to this.
No, neither did I.
I don't think I would have agreed to watch this if I knew it was a musical.
The one saving grace with this being a musical is the fact that it wasn't all their own songs and it was kind of a game of guess the song.
Yeah, but they are pushing hard one song.
Yes.
One song they are trying to shove down your throat to like plant a seed of maybe like.
It did seem like it was a film to sell a CD.
Yeah, but the amount of times this one song is just said, and the song doesn't even make sense. It drives me crazy. Like, it says, like, if there's one in a million, I'm going to be the one. If it's a shot in the dark, I'm going to be the sun. What? Like, one in a million, I'm going to be the one. Fair enough. If it's a shot in the dark, I'll be the sun. Why are you not the shot? Why are you not the, like, bullet, arrow, whatever? What is it ever is getting shot? Why are you not that? How does the sun come into this scenario?
It rhymes.
I don't care. Do not care. If you're going to make a musical, the thing about musicals, like, fair enough, songs on a radio and, like, whatever people do, put whatever lyrics you want. Do not care. If it's a bop, don't care.
Mm.
Like, I don't know them. I'll probably make up my own. But on a musical... It's about a story. It's about giving a story.
If you're going to actually forego actual
speaking,
just take a minute. The song.
Idina Menzel, very good.
The wickedly talented Adele Dazeem.
Wickedly talented.
Thank you, John Travolta.
John Travolta. I know, it's Idina Menzel. She is very good. She is a theatre... She can sing.
Yes.
She is theatre trained. She starred in Rent, the original Broadway.
She's Maureen.
Yes, thank you. Damn it. I was going to do it like she was Maureen. And not only was she Maureen, Taye Diggs was also in Rent, and they got in love and were married at one point, and everybody thought they were the couple. They're divorced now, spoiler alert. I've got my trousers like on upside down.
Gotta keep that in.
No, but the pocket. The pocket's the other way. How is that? How have I managed that?
Are you back to front?
No, look, the pocket's... It wouldn't even be back to front. The pocket's the wrong way.
Have you got the legs at the top?
I don't know. No, it's like it's up here.
It's inside out.
Would that make a difference, though? But look at it. The pockets go up.
I can see the label.
You would tip everything out. What, it's inside out?
I can see the label.
Oh, I've been wearing these for a couple of hours. Sorry. I just was trying to put my hand in the pocket and I was like, what is happening here?
What's happening?
Like, how have I managed to put these on upside down?
I've got my legs on the wrong hand.
Oh, that's the most unprofessional thing I've ever done. Who came here for professionality? Yeah. Taye Diggs. They were married. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Got divorced. Spoiler. I think before they got divorced, they did Rent the film. And they pretty much, I think apart from one or maybe two of the cast, it was the original Broadway cast.
Mm.
And it's Rent, and it's one of the best musicals. I love it. I think it's great. I was always anti musicals. My friend showed me Rent because she absolutely loved it, and it's very good. It's very sad. Very good. Very good. And she is perfect. Like, she knocks it out the park. She's phenomenal. And then you just look at, like, her and Wicked.
Elphaba.
And then it doesn't even need explaining. Elsa in Frozen.
Yes.
She can sing. She can hit a note.
Yep.
Then I saw her in this, and she's the evil stepmother, and I was like, how is Idina Menzel cast as this? How is she, one, old enough to be cast in this? And two, she's never evil. Like, she could, don't feel like she can pull it off.
No, and I think this is one of the main problems that this film has, is that the evil stepmother, Lady Tremaine.
Mm-hmm. Vivian. Her name's Vivian in this, which I like the name Vivian.
Doesn't get a comeuppance. The whole thing, like, the villains get a comeuppance. She just changes. And this is the thing.
They try and give her a backstory. I think that's the difference. They try and go, she's like this because, and they give her like a backstory. And but it's still like, but you suck. You're not a nice person.
Yeah,
but Idina Menzel can't pull it off. She does. She like is horrible in one scene, and then she's kind of nice in the next. Yeah. And it's like,
but that happens to every character. Pierce Brosnan, the king.
Oh, don't.
Is horrible and then nice. The prince, to start off with, is frankly disgusting, and then is immediately nice.
I can't.
The very first scene when he's with his boys.
Oh, his lads.
With his lads and his boys, he's just gross.
I zoned out of that.
And then, like, the next scene, he's the prince.
There is very, very questionable things in this film. And one thing I really didn't like is, they're never called, like, the ugly stepsisters in this film.
No.
But it's known that they're the ugly stepsisters. Yeah. Like, a tale of older time sort of thing. It's like, she's the evil stepmother, they're the ugly stepsisters.
Yeah.
You know, Disney's really clicked onto that hard. There's only one plus-size person in this entire film that you can see. There's no other plus-size women. And I was looking out for them. It was one, and she was the ugly stepsister. So they never say it.
Yeah.
But is who these people are cast as. And I was just like, what? Why? Why are we classing up? It's another like definition that plus size means ugly. And it's just... And one of the things that I saw in so many of the Amazon reviews, like, there are bad Amazon reviews, we'll go into it. But loads of people are complaining about the wokeness of this film.
I was going to say, the sort of inclusivity in this film, I like. It's good to kind of see everybody.
Because
that's the thing, is you don't...
People do not. They do not like this. Everyone's complaining about the wokeness. The thing is, you can have, like, the individuality and the first non-binary fairy godmother, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But then define a plus-size woman as ugly.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Yeah.
Are you trying to be woke and redefining things, or are you just sticking to the norm and brushing everyone?
Yeah.
Like what side are we on?
Yeah.
So that annoyed me. There's a lot of English, British comedians.
So it'll be interesting to see how this translates.
Yeah, I don't think it will. Because I know there's, you said his name was Doc Brown?
Yeah, so the town crier is, yeah, Doc Brown, known for that rapping.
Yeah, I don't like rap in a musical. Like, fair enough, if you've got a whole musical that the whole thing's rap, but this just didn't fit.
I do think it kind of gives you this storytelling sort of narration vibe.
Yeah, but then you've got a narrator.
Yes, I know.
It's like, what is it? Is it a narration or is it not?
Mm. One of the producers for this is James Corden.
Yeah.
And after reading a bit more, James Corden had loads to do. Basically, it's his baby.
Idea, yeah.
And I think that's probably why you've got a lot of English comedians, because they're kind of
when I saw, because with the mice were talking and Luke's like, one of them's James Corden. I was like, is it?
Yeah.
And like, he is in everything.
Yeah.
Like, anything with a voice or like...
Any opportunity to sing, he's going
to
do it.
Any opportunity to sing, any opportunity to be a character. Like, isn't Peter Rabbit him?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure you've got a lovely mansion in America by now. Like, you've come from your High Wycombe days.
Yes.
Just stop. Like, you don't have to agree to everything.
Yeah.
Like, be a producer. You don't need to be in this. Yeah. So I saw him and I was like, oh, God, mighty. Like, he's in everything. You can't get away from the man.
Yeah.
And, like, fair enough, he's come very far. He went to the same secondary school as my sisters. He was, like, the year above, I think.
Mm.
He came from High Wycombe, which is, like, not the nicest place, but he's done really well. But that doesn't mean you have to be in everything.
Yeah.
He's got, like, the late night money now. Chill out.
Yeah.
Plus, if he's that much of a producer on this film, and I heard it was his idea to reinterpret this film as like a modern day thing, which, but it's not at the same time. So it's
the thing that did annoy me is that, so a lot of the advertising for this, there was lots and lots of talk of this film with Mercedes.
Yes, yeah.
And they had pictures of Cinderella, Camilla Cabello, outside Waddesdon Manor, with a G-Wagon.
Oh, okay.
And I saw pictures of Billy Porter with a gold, sparkly Maybach.
Okay.
And then they never feature. So I don't know whether they shifted, because obviously this was filming pre-COVID.
Yeah.
And then they stopped. And then they refilmed once they were allowed to again. So I don't know if they changed directions at any point, because I can't tell when this is.
No, that's the thing. So I got a whole thing with this as well, because so I think Mercedes did have a like agreement with them, so I don't know if they just gave them the cars, but the whole carriage that Cinderella uses is based and designed specifically to promote a Mercedes-Benz,
but it doesn't look anything like
That's why I read that, I was like, really?
That's what makes me think whether they did do one, and the one that eventually gets into it,
I just can't see how they get away with that, though. Like,
it's product placement, it's fine.
But no, get away with it as in not doing it. If you sign a big old deal with Mercedes, I don't think you can turn around and go,
yeah.
We went with a Cray instead. So talking about you don't know when it's meant to be set. So I did a Googling, because there was one bit in the film that really bugged me.
Mm.
It's like everything is like oldie-woldy, and like there's candles and there's like no electricity and stuff like that. And yet one moment where the prince gets into like his royal clothes, they zip him up.
Yes.
With a zipper. And it's very obvious, and it's like a whole, the camera follows the zip going up.
Yeah.
So I was like, zips wouldn't have been invented. Like, zips were invented after electricity.
Yeah.
What? So I did a Google, and this film was meant to be set in the 19th century. So it's 1800 to 1899.
Yeah.
Zips. I did my research about zips. So zips were originally debuted at the World's Fair in 1893. So you could be like, oh, well, it could be because it was...
But wait.
So zips were created then.
Yeah.
They were not finally added to clothes until 1925. And they went on leather jackets first.
Yeah.
So, although they existed, they would not have been on royal clothes. Yeah. And there's electric angle grinders in this one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I spotted the angle grinder and...
See, I found all the goofs on IMDb. The angle grinder was there, but nobody has pointed out the zip.
Well, it's all electric lights as well. The whole thing is electric. There's no flicker into the...
I never noticed.
Clearly, they filmed in Waterston Manor. They're not allowed to have the flame candles. Yeah. So
it's very questionable. Like, you think of, like, Ready or Not and everything's candles and it's got that look where this just has such a...
Yeah.
It has a Disney Channel vibe.
To me, it's not Disney Channel. It's more Hallmarky.
Yeah.
They're kind of films that are a bit like, meh, it's a film.
I agree. There's just like, there is like nothing interesting about it. Like, and there's this, there's like stories and then they try and add in like little bits that they think are going to hit with kids.
Mm.
Like they think they're like, this is powerful. This is, you know, and there's a bit where one of the ugly stepsisters is looking in the mirror. By the way, she's beautiful.
Mm.
She looks in the mirror and she's a bit like ditzy. And she goes to Cinderella, do you think I'm pretty?
Mm.
Or do you think I look nice? And she goes, I think you look pretty, but it's all what you think. What do you think? And she looks at herself and goes, I think I look pretty. And she's like, that's all that matters.
Mm.
So we got that. And it was like, okay.
Okay.
Whatever. And then there's another bit where Billy Porter comes in and he does his like whole fabulous fairy godmother thing.
Mm.
And then he tells her that the like magic's going to wear off at 12. And she was like, oh, why has it run out? And he was like, because everything, good or bad, comes to an end.
Yes.
It's like, oh, Billy Porter, right in my heart.
Yeah.
Right in my heart.
I mean... Billy Porter is probably one of the best things in this film.
He's in it for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
10 minutes.
Yes.
But do you know how hard they push Billy Porter being in this film? He was advertised on everything.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously stage background. He's originally from Kinky Boots.
Oh, I only know him from American Horror Story.
He's Lola in Kinky Boots.
Is it Coven?
Yes, it could be, yeah. And I do think Billy Porter is very good in this. I do think singing is... You can tell, like, they knock Camila Cabello singing out of the park.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like, when they come in and it's like a butterfly or whatever turns into it, and they only help because she saved the butterfly.
Yeah.
And it was like, you're just desserts. Which reminded me, kind of the beginning of Beauty and the Beast. You know, the witch knocks on the door about the rose?
Yes.
And turns them away. It's like the opposite of that.
Yeah.
So when they come in and it's really, like, it's well done and... I really liked it. But when I watched it, I was thinking, whenabouts in COVID was this filmed? Because it doesn't look, to me, I'm sure they were, doesn't look like they were actually filming together because they have no chemistry whatsoever.
Yeah.
So it just looked like they were just acting on their own and then they like put the scenes together because there's no chemistry. There was no like...
Yeah, they don't dance together, they dance opposite
each other. Yeah, they dance like next to each other, but quite a big different distance. Like, I don't know if their timetables didn't measure up or schedule conflicts, or they could have just filmed and it was awful.
Yeah.
Like, Billy Porter did a really good performance and they knocked it out of the park.
Mm.
And then Camila Cabello was just her.
Yeah.
And it's just, she's very flat. She doesn't seem to have chemistry with anybody on screen.
Yeah.
But then you've got someone like Billy Porter who's so over the top and just, you know, flamboyant. Yeah. And then you got her, who's just like...
It's...
And Billy Porter's bringing everything to that scene.
Yeah.
He's just there.
The heel line did make me laugh.
I didn't like that. It's not funny. It's just, like, there's always this joke about, like, high heels and why do women do it? And it's like, why would you punish your feet? And it's like, yeah, they hurt, but some people just don't care. And, like, some people just, like, get used to it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a big deal. I'm a woman and, like... wear high heels sometimes, but the whole time I'm wearing high heels, I'm not complaining about how much they hurt.
No.
Because, like, saying they are the most painful things in the world. It's like the corset jokes. In Pirates of the Caribbean, where they're tightening the corsets, and she's like, women in London must have forgotten how to breathe.
Mm.
And it's just, it's always those sort of same jokes, and it's like, ugh. It feels like, to me, it's written by a man who doesn't wear shoes.
Could be.
It just landed, it just fell.
I did read a whole article... So Vogue actually did a big article about this was Cinderella reimagined in high fashion.
Okay.
And only one dress stood out to me, and that is Billy Porter's. There's not...
Yeah, yeah.
Everything else is very plain. And it's very, considering this is very, about...
like, kind of seems cliche. They're not original dresses. They're done.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
And one of the shoes that she had, which were glass slippers, are very clearly plastic shoes that could have either been done by, I've seen Melissa, who teams up with Vivienne Westwood and things like that, and they make like plastic shoes that smell like bubblegum. Mm. My favourite shoes ever, by the way. They're the most comfortable things in the world because they like mold your feet. Anyway, could have been one of those because I've seen them do exactly the same thing. And Khloe Kardashian has recently released a Cinderella shoe that looks identical. So it's not even like they tried to make it look like glass.
From what I could tell, it's done by a Japanese brand, these shoes.
They weren't even trying on that.
No.
Like, not even a little bit.
Yeah, but I was just like, just even reading the article, was just like, there was, considering this is a film where we're talking about, you know, Ella's dresses, and it's her making these dresses.
Yeah,
and
a bit like a girl boss.
Around these dresses.
Yeah.
The one dress that's good, she doesn't make.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing that got me as well, there's a bit where Billy Porter turns one of her dresses into the dress she goes to the ball with.
Mm.
And it's very clearly the dress that she draws is blue, right? So I was like, oh, they're doing the Disney blue dress that Cinderella always goes in. And then they make it and it's like this pinky purple thing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, that isn't the dress that you did then.
Yeah.
Because it looks nothing alike. The other one looks like it's like tiered almost, like fringed. And then the other one is like really long. It's got flowers all over it. It doesn't even kind of look the same.
Mm.
So, and there's another bit where she's trying to, so she's meant to be this dress designer.
Yeah.
There was Bunny, you know, like the hand.
Air quotes.
Bunny. There we go. That links Luke. She cannot, like Camila Cabello could not even pretend to draw correctly.
Yeah.
Like when you actually see her draw, it's not even close to anything.
Mm.
So it's like, just don't do it. Like if you're going to have a shot of someone trying to draw it, actually have the artist do it and just do a further away shot and you just don't notice
it. With Idina Menzel on the piano.
Could you not play the piano?
The shots, to me, I can tell they're cleverly done, but they're so close with her arms, but you never see her fingers touch the keys. And then the shot swings to another. But it looks believable.
It looks believable, I thought it was.
Because you see the majority.
It's the David Bowie, the ball thing.
Yeah, you like, never fully see it, and you just...
The ball thing that I'm referring to is David Bowie in the Labyrinth with the glass balls.
Yeah.
Just Luke knows exactly what I mean, but probably no one else does. It's just David Bowie and his balls. Yeah, so there was just like so many things that just annoyed me. And it's like, first of all, I don't like the story of Cinderella, that somebody can just fall in love with someone overnight.
Mm.
Don't like it. Hate it. These two people were singing about how they're so in love and that they have a favorite song, but he doesn't know her name.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry, how can you have a favorite song when you don't know her name?
Yeah.
Like, have you even, apart from that one song that you're singing, have you even, like, listened to a song together?
That's what I was, when we were watching it, you said, it's their favourite song. I was like, it's because it's the only song they've heard. They've met each other 3 times, and that song's been playing each time.
I don't think at this point they'd met each other twice.
Yeah.
Like, what? I just don't like that concept. And if we're trying to be woke and telling things to kids, I don't think we should encourage really quick falling in love. If you fall in love really, really quick, fair enough, for some people it works. Other people, you can get so swept up in it and get love bombed and all of this. It's not something you want to idolize to kids.
Yeah.
So, yeah, don't get me started on this. I'm very angry. It's just, if we're going to reimagine it, let's properly reimagine this.
So, talking about kind of reimagining, my research took me down the Cinderella path.
Okay, love
basically it. I couldn't be bothered to research this film, so I researched Cinderella in general.
There was nothing to research about this film, by the way.
So the story of Cinderella actually is traced back to the 9th century in China.
Okay.
So that's the kind of first kind of appearance of it. It doesn't actually reach the Western world until an Italian story, which translates to The Cat Cinderella, in 1634.
Cat Cinderella?
Yes.
What does that mean?
I don't really know. It's just that's what it
is. Is that like why Disney have Lucifer in it?
Could be.
It's interesting.
But obviously slightly different kind of feel from the old stories. Cinderella actually kills the stepmother in the end by snapping her neck on the lid of a dressing trunk.
Like it.
it does the whole attending a grand feast, and she's not recognised because she's dressed as royalty.
Mm-hmm.
She does lose her slippers, but they are made of fur.
Okay. Is that the cat?
No. So this is kind of one of the things that historically you can kind of understand how stories have adapted over mm-hmm. the years. Because this was translated into French, so in French, the fur would actually have been squirrel.
Oh, okay.
So squirrel hair slippers is pantoufle de verre.
Mm-hmm.
And de verre is also glass.
Oh.
So squirrel hair slippers has just over the years been mistranslated into glass slippers.
Oh, that's so cool. So what story is that from the Italian one?
So that's from the Italian one, but eventually it would have been translated. So the Disney film is based on the 1697 French version.
Is that the Grimm's brothers?
No, so Brothers Grimm's slightly...
Brothers Grimm.
So the Brothers Grimm is obviously slightly more macabre because it's Brothers Grimm.
There's some cutting off of toes in
there. Yeah, so the ugly stepsisters actually mutilate their own feet so that they're able to put their feet into the glass slippers.
They cut off their toes and I think they cut off their heels.
Eventually they actually die because their eyes are pecked out by songbirds.
Mm-hmm.
Scotland also has their own very own version as well where it's actually the stepmother that cuts off the daughter's toes and bunions so they're able to fit the slipper.
Nice.
And apparently they can't go in properly because they're filled with blood.
Yeah.
Not until, so the Disney version, as I said, 1697 is when all the kind of gore comes out.
Mm-hmm.
The sort of fairy godmother magic and the pumpkin carriage is actually added at that point. So it's quite interesting to see sort of how...
That's super interesting. I'm really interested about that glass thing. That was well interesting. That's a little factoid. There was one holiday that we went on. I take a lot of books on holiday. And one of them, I took the entire Grimm library, like Brothers Grimm. I wanted to read the actually original fairy tales. I thought that was the original Cinderella. So, and I think a lot of people do. I don't think they realise it goes back that far. And maybe that's just my...
I think the thing is, was the Brothers Grimm is actually them. They were collecting stories.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't actually write a lot of their stories themselves. So actually a lot of the Brothers Grimm stories do actually date a lot further back. Really, and they're sort of being collected and
I think, I don't know if that's just my interpretation of what they do, but I just thought they wrote them.
Yeah.
I didn't know they did their own sort of spin on it.
But yeah.
Wow, it's really interesting. But one thing you have told me that... So I knew that James Corden was in this, but I'm quite surprised that James Corden is heavily as involved as he is, that you've said, because James Corden does not like Pierce Brosnan.
Okay.
They have like a beef. So James Corden has repeatedly told the story about how he went to a U2 concert and saw Pierce Brosnan and his wife walk away from an area that they were standing in. So James Corden and his partner was there. Pierce Brosnan and his partner was there. They were in the same area. Pierce Brosnan and his partner walk away and James Corden and his romantic partner, they said here, decide to take their spot. So they're obviously a little bit further up and these people have moved, so they go in their spot. After standing there for a while, Brosnan returned and shoved Corden out of the area without saying a word. Corden states that Brosnan is the rudest celebrity he's ever met. And he's said this a lot. Like, this is a repeated story that James Corden tells.
Yeah.
So I'm quite surprised that he's as heavily involved in this film as is, and Pierce Brosnan is a headliner.
I suppose, I mean, Pierce Brosnan is also meant to be one of the bad characters in this.
I don't understand how either Pierce Brosnan or his agent signed him up for this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he's just got, like, nothing to do or COVID was driving him crazy. I don't know, because this is an awful character for him to sign up for.
Yeah,
there's no redeemable qualities.
I think it's kind of almost like they've gone, right, let's get a load of UK comedians and then just fill people that have been in musicals. But they forgot that he can't sing.
Yes!
He's in musicals.
So I watched this and he can't sing. And then in research, I was like, I found out it's been like 3 musicals.
Mamma Mia 2 and Mamma Mia 3.
Is there a Mamma Mia 3?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and like, what? Like he can't, like, was he pretending not to sing in this because that fits his role? I don't understand. I've never seen any of the Mamma Mia films, so I don't know. But I just don't get it.
I was going to say, I think potentially he can get away with it because the whole point, the whole character is supposed to not be able to sing. But I don't want to hear someone not be able to sing.
Well, yeah, it's like having Eddie Redvine in Les Mis. Ruins the whole thing.
But people think he can sing.
Oh, Eddie Redmayne, don't even get me started on this.
No,
Eddie
no,
Redmayne.
I agree.
I know.
He sounds
I know.
Like Beaker from The Muppets.
It ruins the. Everyone's got problems with Russell Crowe and Les Mis, but really, the root of the problem, the root, the little kernel of awfulness is Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah.
He ruins that film.
Yes.
And yeah, Pierce Brosnan. I don't know what. First of all, don't know a lot about Pierce Brosnan. The extent of my knowledge is Dante's Peak. And apart from that and Mrs. Doubtfire, I don't think I've ever seen a film with Pierce Brosnan in it.
He's my Bond as well, because he's GoldenEye.
Yeah. So, and apparently, little snippet to GoldenEye, Pierce Brosnan and Minnie Driver, who plays his wife in this, previously appeared together in GoldenEye, 95. It was Brosnan's first film as James Bond, and it was her first ever film.
Oh.
So that's a little snippet. I've only seen a couple of James Bond films, and they were all Daniel Craig ones.
Mm.
But I just feel in this film, like I said, don't know Pierce Brosnan well, he seemed like he was just doing a Sean Connery impression the entire film.
Yeah, I can kind of see it. Yeah, I just don't know.
Is Pierce Brosnan Scottish?
No.
Because he definitely had something going on.
Mm.
But Sean Connery's Scottish, right?
Yeah.
So he sounded, because the whole time I was listening to him, I was like, he sounds like Zeus from Hercules. And I was like, who are you trying to kid with this?
But that's John Goodman, isn't it? Zeus from Hercules?
No, Zeus from Hercules is Sean Connery. That was Rip Thorn.
Oh, Rip Thorn, yes.
Who is that?
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
That's that guy?
Yeah.
I thought it was Sean Connery. It still sounds like Sean Connery. Not Zeus from Hate, but he sounds like he's trying to be Sean Connery, and it's not good.
Mm.
Like, there's nothing. Words fail me. That's all I can say. I was watching him and being like, you were in Dante's Peak. What has happened to you? That's all I could think. It's like, you're letting me. I chose Dante's Peak as my guilty pleasure because I love it. And look at you now, is all I could think. So I was not impressed. He needs to go back up that mountain. He needs to go underwater diving, is what he needs to do.
It's a niche reference right there.
You get it though, right?
Yeah.
All right, good. All right. That's all that matters, babe. That's all that matters.
Yes.
Moving on swiftly, because I'm having enough. There's
reviews.
Props. Any props?
No.
Okay. Reviews.
New film. No props.
When we were walking around today, there's a scene in the film where there is a very iconic statue, and it's made like a thing.
Get off my dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was awful. I'm sorry, but Camila Cabello falls flat. Like, even when she tries to do jokes and stuff, she falls flat.
Yeah.
She's a great singer and all that, but we don't need to be multi-talented. Just do your thing.
I didn't understand this film at all. There's no need for it.
I don't get it. Anywho, so that was like an iconic bit. And when we were walking, and it's clearly on the lawn of Wadsden Manor.
Yeah.
And I know technically it would wreck their grass or whatever, but we were saying it would be nice that at this moment.
Well, there's this sort of hype around the film.
Yeah, that they put it back.
Yeah.
Because it would be quite
It's a draw
cool
and people
see.
Would take pictures with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It would get them good sort of marketing sort of thing. So that was the only prop that we really...
That was kind of interesting, just because we know the location.
And it's like a big part of it. Like, what else are they going to do with that?
Mm.
So, I can't see anyone taking that home.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with the views. Like I said, it's 2.9 out of 5 on Amazon.
Yeah.
The percentage of reviews to ratings is 39% of people gave it 5 stars and 45% of people gave it 1 star. So there is not a lot of people who are in between. It is like, you love it or you hate it. There wasn't like, it was all right.
Yeah.
It was either, I'm going to do an essay about how much I love this, or I'm going to do an essay about how much I hate this. I avoided all of those because I'm not writing them down and they bore me. So I just kept to the small ones. If you want me to read out an Amazon review, keep it sweet. Keep it short.
Gets the point.
Yeah. Get me in and out of there. So starting with the 5 star. Camila Cabello, along with the rest of the cast, was amazing in it. A must-watch, a modern spin on a classic story. Luke's nodding. This is no word.
I don't know what to say. I don't see how it's modern.
No, and why?
Yeah.
You know, but there's there's so many good writers and things around now. Like, there's talented people. Why not we give some money into some new ideas? Why does everything need to be redone?
Yeah, I think this is part of the thing. Like, this is done by the people that did Pitch Perfect.
Okay.
Which I've never seen.
Never seen.
And apparently there's two.
I think there's three.
There's apparently three.
Yeah, but like, at least Pitch Perfect.
I think these sort of people, these Pitch Perfects, apparently there's three. There's apparently three Mamma Mias. They just churn out this stuff. And I do think that these films are meant to be seen in the cinema. They're meant for people to go.
Well, this film isn't meant to be seen in the cinema because it didn't even drop in the cinema.
Exactly. So I think this is just not going to do well.
Mm.
You need the people going along doing the karaoke versions of this.
Oh my God, can you imagine karaoke
versions of this? I would stay well away from it. But that's the only way this is going to make money.
I would rather go into a hall of mirrors covered in honeycomb, staring Candyman in the face and saying his name five times right to him, than going to the karaoke version of this film.
Yeah. Yeah.
And have Bloody Mary standing behind me. Like,
the horror in Devon's face right now.
Oh my God. If hell exists... It is the karaoke version of this film in the cinema, and people go up and clap at the end. That would be my hell.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate films when they clap at the end. We went to go and see Les Mis like a month in, right?
It was literally one of the last days it was at the cinema.
And we were like, oh,
let's go before we miss it, because I feel like it's going to be a film that's going to be nice to see at the cinema. And we were in Aylesbury to watch this. And there must have been 10, 20 people. This is obviously.
I think it was about 20, 25 people.
20, 25 people seeing it.
In the smallest screen. This was like, right, this was number six. This was one of the back.
Screen six. It's not screen one or two.
No,
it's
screen six, I think, is meant to be the haunted one. Yeah. Like, it's the one people don't want to go to.
Yeah. So it was just. And it finished. And people got up and clapped. And we just looked at people like, who do you think you are? Where do you think you are? Sit down.
Luke and I literally were just like, time could have frozen, and we were I was questioning everything about my life at that point. It's like, one, why am I here? I enjoyed the film, but why are we clapping right now? Who do you think is going to hear you clapping?
Yeah.
Like, what is the person you're clapping for? Is it the guy who's playing the DVD up in the projector? Is it the screen that has is an inanimate thing? Who are you clapping for right now?
Yeah, the guy that's probably playing the projector is probably waiting for you to get out so you can sweep up your popcorn.
Yeah.
He doesn't need that clap.
But I've never been so embarrassed for other people in my whole life as when they clapped in this cinema.
Yeah. I didn't say anything, but my eyes said sit down.
My eyes said die. Oh, people. All right, next one. 5-star. The movie is really good. All the negative reviews are just from the fact that it isn't the classic Cinderella. But they are not trying to recreate a classic. They are just trying to put a spin on it. The music is great. It's a mix between song covers and original. Definitely a good watch.
No.
Nah.
Nah.
This is a longer one. It's obvious that this is not the Disney film, but let's get that straight. The fact that kids, young people and adults can watch it, being able to relate, is what's most important. This film is meant to be fun. For those who have stated that they feel it was a waste of time, you should have checked what you were going into before you were being so critical. No one forced you to watch it. I felt like I was forced to watch it. If it wasn't for this podcast, I wouldn't have watched it.
Yeah.
I was forced to watch this. There was no, I don't
just
even know.
Write a reply. I was forced to watch this and I didn't like it.
Yep. I was forced to watch this. Listen to last night I watched from my review.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're moving on to the 1-star. First one, pure cack.
Agreed.
I like a short. I saw that one. I was like, you're short, you're in.
How many of these did you write?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven.
No, did you write them on Amazon?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, mine wouldn't have been. Mine would have been a bit fruity with the language, I think.
Yeah.
I hate this film so much. I can't remember the last time I hated a film this much. Like, in my bones. Next 1-star review. The kids have been asking me to turn it off from the first 15 minutes. I decided to watch it alone. It hasn't got any better. There's magic in fairy tales. The songs don't match well either. It's been disturbing for us.
This is a view from a horror film.
I know. But to be fair, I've been more disturbed by this film than some of my darkest horror films. Yeah. So, you know, whatever freaks you out the most.
Yeah.
Next one. This one was titled Cringeworthy. There's one star. This film gave me a stress headache. It's not just awful, it's ridiculous. And it's not for me.
Yep.
I understand a stress headache. I think I got one of those from the producers, like in the first second.
That wasn't stress, that was noise.
Yeah, it was just overstimulated. Next one. I went more and I found that I liked the one star reviews more, so I've just done a lot of them.
Yeah.
Feel free to edit out the ones you don't want.
I'll edit out the good ones.
Great actors cast in a bad project. What a travesty for Pierce Brosnan and Minnie Driver. Two great actors being involved in such a terrible version of Cinderella.
Great is probably
exaggeration.
Yeah.
Also, is Minnie Driver like a proper legal name, or is that like a slight joke?
No, it is her name. Minnie Driver, I couldn't name another film she's in.
She was in Will and Grace. It wasn't a film, but she was in Will and Grace. Well, she was in Goldeneye.
The first film she was in. I couldn't name a film she's in, even though you told me a film she's in.
The thing is, I always thought her name was like a stage name, like Minnie Driver.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Minnie is iconic car in the UK. Yeah. So I just thought it was a joke. So her parents on purposely did that.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I don't know if it's a stage name. I'm not the font of all Minnie Driver knowledge.
You're not the head of the family?
No. Oh. No, I don't run her fan page or her wiki or whatever.
No?
No.
Next one. Worst of all time? ? Managed 3 minutes. Every bit of this garbage is revolting. So I don't know if you can say it's the worst of all time because they got 3 minutes in, but they found it revolting.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. 3 minutes. Oh, it's just that rhythm song at the start, wasn't it?
Oh, Rhythm Nation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I would have turned off.
It was a struggle.
It was. The only thing that kept us going was I know where that is. And we stood there and that if it wasn't for that, I would have turned this off and said, you know, podcast, no film this week.
Yeah.
Next one. Why ruin a classic? And that is classic is in all capitals if you couldn't hear the emphasis in my voice.
Mm.
And then they did 4 exclamation marks, 6 question marks. And then 8 more exclamation marks, just so you can feel the power behind this question. Mm. This film should have been a different name. This is utter garbage and Amazon should delete it. I don't like this film. I think there's worse films out on Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
Like some that we didn't even know if were meant to be parodies, but are actually proper films. So, like, I get it, but...
Yes.
There is worse.
Yeah.
Last one. I really think Amazon should give up trying to make movies now. Side note, this is the first film that Sony has done for Amazon.
Might be last year.
And one thing, when I give the information right at the beginning, I normally give a budget and the box office. Both Luke and I scoured the internet and could not find a budget for this film.
No.
They just haven't announced it.
I think someone's incredibly embarrassed by it.
Probably.
Someone's going to hide it, bury it. They cannot know how much money we've wasted on this film.
There was no dogs, and sadly, very sadly, there was no kills.
No.
So I can't do a kill cam.
Nope.
If you see any dogs, let us know, because neither Luke and I, we checked out, so there could have been a whole pack of dogs running through that film, I wouldn't have noticed.
To be fair, the only thing we were looking for was when it ended. We were looking for that end. For most of the film, we were desperate for the end.
Yeah, because I got up for a toilet break, and I put it on pause, and I felt like I could have, like, held myself, because it was near the end.
Mm.
So I was like, I was touch and go. And I was like, nah, I'm going to, this is hard enough to concentrate, let alone hold my bladder. So I paused it. There was 35 minutes left.
Yep.
I could have cried.
Yeah.
And the final song, because we both looked at each other and was like, this sounds like a final song, but it's going on for a long time. So is it actually the end song? And it was the end song. It just went on for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's done. It's a lot. Yeah, we're done. Yeah. Give me your score, Luke.
One.
Really?
One. Literally, I'm going to give... The fact is, in Wadston, half a point. I like Billy Porter, half a point.
Okay, I'm going 2 because it was on Waddesdon. I liked the little... Like, if it wasn't for this film, we wouldn't have gone to Waddesdon Manor recently and had our little recreation. So for that, I like it. Like, it got us to get off our bums.
Don't say you like this.
No, I like it for getting us out. And 2 for Billy Porter.
Yeah.
Because that was awesome.
Yeah.
They were really...
Yeah.
Good in it. Like, it added that extra bit of sparkle.
Yeah.
Was definitely lacking in this whole magical fairy tale film.
Yes.
There's no sparkle in this film.
No.
And the CGI is awful.
Yes.
We didn't touch on that. They do CGI mice.
One thing that really annoyed me...
There is a lot of hands.
There's a lot of things. One thing that really annoyed me, there was a transition between the shoe that Cinderella had and the shoe that the prince had. And it was possibly the worst shot I've ever seen. I was like, okay, that's quite a good... Like, I'm going to have to do one on Instagram just to kind of show how you can do that transition so much easier.
I didn't even notice it.
It bugged the hell out of me. Because it went in, focus shifted, and then it was completely in the wrong position. And I was just like, why have you done this?
I think they just gave up. They knew how rubbish it was and was like, yeah, we're just
someone
just
had a good idea and went, oh, we'll go from that shoe to the other shoe. Good idea. And someone just didn't understand it and didn't...
Maybe the director should take a day off on that
it
day.
It annoyed me because I saw what they were going to do. Liked it. The execution was awful. Awful.
You look so
I am so angry about it. I completely forgot about it and I just remembered because that's probably the biggest scribble I have on my
really?
Page.
Mine was when I first saw the mice and saw how overly fake CGI'd they were.
Mm.
They weren't even like good CGI. It wasn't even like...
Well, they should have got proper mice actors.
No, but like it was poor CGI. Like, you know, CGI has come a long way now. A long way. Like, they CGI'd a whole mountain in Dante's Peak, and that was in the 90s. I'm going on Dante's Peak hard because I'm still angry that he's let himself go so much. And let himself go is meaning poor acting skills. He looks fine. I've lost my place. But yeah, it's awful. Like, so bad. Considering this is like 2021, and it was in COVID. So there was a lot of people at home that could have worked on this.
Yeah.
There was no excuse not to have anyone good available when everyone was just at home.
Yeah. Yeah. Not good.
That could have been done from home. You didn't need to be on set for that. You didn't need to be in the UK for that.
Mm.
So yeah, we've got 3.
Yes.
Possibly too high. If you want to watch this, crack on. More power to you.
If you want to watch it, look at Waddesdon Manor in the background. It's very nice.
It's very nice,
place to visit. We will recommend Waddesdon Manor.
Yes. Yeah. Very nice. And do the shuttle. The shuttle was like £2. And we were watching people walk today being like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, because I said to Luke, I was like, who does this? And he was like, people enjoy walking, Devon. I was like, really? Who?
I'm not one of those people.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm done with this.
Yep.
Like, this can be dead and buried.
Agreed.
The only annoying thing I'm really not happy about is it's going to completely mess up my Amazon Prime algorithm.
I'm sure you can heavily weight it with the next lot of films.
Yeah, don't worry.
Yeah.
I'm already on it. I think the next couple of films, they're going to be they're going to be a breath of fresh air.
Yes.
Compared to this. Palate cleanser compared
fresh air filled with the aromas of pumpkin spice.
You made that sound magical. We're just going into gore and scary now.
Yes.
You made that sound so nice. It's like, yes, with some cream and a fire.
Yes.
Death and blood and knives.
Feel to it, yes.
Love it. So next week, we are going into our Halloween horror.
We need to come up with like a name.
Yeah, we do, because I'm like, Bonzen, Bonanza, but I don't feel like I can say it right. It feels weird coming out my mouth. Hopefully by next week we'll come up with a better name.
If not, give us a name.
Yeah, let us know what Halloweeny month should be called.
Not Halloweeny.
Why? Weeny. I don't know what your problem is with Halloweeny. So yeah, we're starting next week with Trick or Treat. I have wanted to watch this film for ages. I see the like little merchandise and shops, and I've seen the like Funkos of the little kid with like the sack head.
Mm.
I'm interested.
Yep.
I haven't seen it, so it's not one I've seen, so I'm not recommending it because I know it's good. I'm recommending it because I want to watch it and I might as well do it now.
You force yourself to watch it much like this one.
Well, not for, no, not even. I would watch it for myself.
Yes.
But I have a reason to now.
Yeah.
I'm not being forced this week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, join us for our spooky season. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you hear, head over to our social media pages at LNIW Podcast.
Last Night Watch can be found on all major podcasting platforms. And while you're there, please subscribe and leave us a review.
Last Night I Watched is also on Patreon. Pledging your support is the best way to help the podcast.
So we would really appreciate it if you could throw us a tip in our virtual tip jar so we can continue to keep watching.
I've got my trousers like on upside down.